Movie film rolls. A sprocket at the edge becomes the letter I in IFC Films. Large red letters, AGC, above studios. Shutter in red letters shakes. Moon River, the first O is a moon whose light reflects on water. The word big drops. Big Scope Films. AGC Studios presents. A Big Scope Films and Moon River production. Treetops reflect in a car's rear window. A blonde angel figurine on the rear shelf bounces and wiggles its wings. People stride down a sidewalk. A figure in a voluminous white nun's habit moves against the tide. A rosary and crucifix swing at the waist from beneath a cape. People look down as they pass this imposing presence. Across the street, a slight woman with straight light brown hair wears a black suit jacket. She walks along the iron fence of a park.
My brother used to believe I had a guardian angel.
A nun in white starts to cross the street toward the woman.
And I used to believe in nothing.
She turns toward the nun.
But now I'm not so sure.
The nun, an old woman, raises a revolver and points it directly at her. The young woman is motionless. Fade to black. A white screen lights up.
Now.
A faint square blinks in a corner.
Can you see the TV interference or the white noise? The edge of the screen.
No.
The square moves.
What about now?
An elderly woman rests her chin on an ophthalmologic exam machine.
No.
The slight woman examines the elderly woman.
It can be frightening, a change like this. But there is some cause for optimism. I studied under an ophthalmologist who's the very top of the AMD field, and I think he'd be very interested in your case.
The woman looks at a man seated beside her.
I'm afraid we can't afford to go private.
He's a friend of mine. I'm sure if I ask him, he could accommodate you. What he's achieved in that field is nothing short of miraculous.
Is that what I need? A miracle?
No. You need a course of injections, and as quickly as possible.
The doctor gazes down from her window at the couple getting into their car. In a hospital.
It's the most aggressive case I've ever seen.
Any sign of cataract?
No.
Of course, that'd be too easy. You know, I'm starting to get a feeling that you only come see me when someone needs help.
The perfect excuse.
Only a recluse needs an excuse to see their old friend and teacher.
I'm not a recluse.
Hermit, then.
I'm not a hermit either.
All right.
All right, you'll do it?
All right, I'll do it.
Love you.
She kisses his cheek.
Not even gonna buy me a drink?
The doctor lets herself into a dimly lit house. She hangs up her purse and jacket. She looks at herself in a mirror above a hall table. Her bangs and fine brown hair fall neatly in place. Her expression is placid. She walks to the kitchen. A tabby cat walks on an island.
Hello, Mr. Moo.
Oh, darling.
On a computer, she types an email to Mrs. Toe from Grace Farlow, ophthalmologist, regarding her referral to Dr. John Holmes. Her lights go out. She walks into a hall and tries the switch. Still no lights. She walks down another hall.
Mr. Moo?
She regards a picture stuck in a hall mirror frame. A young girl and a small boy beside her. Grace touches a red smudge on the picture, on the boy's shirt. A nun in white stands in the hall behind her. Lights flicker.
Hello?
She walks toward the front door.
Hello?
She looks at a landline phone. She picks up the handset.
Hello.
Hello, is that Miss Farlow?
Yes.
My name's DCI Harris. I'm afraid I've got some bad news. It's your brother. His body's been found at a convent here in Scotland. We're investigating the possibility of a murder-suicide.
What?
She sits abruptly on the floor. A Christopher Smith film. On a ferry, Grace looks at the churning wake made by the ferry. Jenna Malone. Danny Houston. Thorin Ferguson. Will Keane. A single car makes its way along a winding road between rocky cliffs and the sea. Ailey Fisher. Alexandra Lewis. Jolaine Abasola. Daisy Allen. Kit Rakusen. Ian Pyrie. Stefan Senid. And Janet Suzman. Low-hanging clouds reflect silver off of nearby ponds and pools, which pockmark the land near the coast. Consecration. Grace pulls to a stop in front of a small police station. Inside, a dark-haired man pulls a chair up to a messy desk.
Let me just clear this up. Have a seat. This was still early days in the investigation. I'm just piecing things together. Would you like a cup of tea?
When can I see him?
He's with the coroner at the moment.
I want to see him.
In a morgue, a man in scrubs leans over a body.
Hello, this is DCI Harris. Look, I'm here with the sister of one of the deceased, Father Michael.
If you could let me know when she could come and see the body, that'd be great, thanks. In the meantime, how about I drive you up to the convent, talk you through what we know so far?
So Father Carroll was visiting the convent from Rome. He was found murdered in the chapel.
A priest lies next to a tile cross.
His torso sliced open.
Nuns scrub away blood.
Your brother's body was found nearby, on the rocks below the ruins of the old church. The working assumption is that he killed Father Carroll, and then he took his own life.
She shakes her head.
My brother would never kill anyone, nor would he kill himself.
May I ask how your brother came to be involved in such an extreme sect?
I don't know. I haven't seen him for a long time. What do you mean, extreme?
I follow a hardcore reading of the Bible. It's fire and brimstone and then some. A few weeks ago, one of the nuns claimed that she saw the devil. She cut her own eye out. She was doing the other one too, but she fainted.
My brother was devout, not crazy.
You?
I'm not interested in religion.
Nuns walk through hallways of a large convent. An old nun peers out from her window at the arriving car of DCI Harris. A young nun with a patch over one eye enters.
There is but one God.
And his shadow.
The old nun meets them in front of the door.
You must be Grace, my mother's superior. There's no need to call me mother if it makes you uncomfortable. Sister will do.
Hello.
We meet under the most dreadful circumstances. But it is only by confronting the devil that his grip on us is weakened. Before your brother fell into darkness, he was much loved by everyone.
Fell into darkness? And what do you mean?
It was a demon, not your brother, that killed Father Carroll. Your brother had the strength of mind to fight it, tragically taking his own life in the process.
So you saw my brother kill himself?
Indirectly.
And what does that mean?
The eyes of God are on us all.
When you talk about my brother, cut the bullshit.
Grace, mother, sorry.
Don't apologize for me. Please show me where my brother was murdered.
Thank you.
Mother Superior opens her hand. Blood covers her palm and a metal crucifix.
That went well.
I don't like nuns.
Okay.
They walk up to a ruin of stones on a cliff's edge.
You know Mother Superior has the right to stop police access and hand this whole case over to Rome?
How?
This land is owned by the Vatican. Technically, we're not even in Scotland right now.
A nun kneels on a slope. She rises when she sees Grace. Harris leads her to an arch in the rock walls, with an opening in the stones looking out to sea.
His body was found on the rocks below there.
Can you give me a minute?
Sure. Just be careful, eh?
She walks slowly toward the arch. Her hair blows in the breeze. She stops and braces her hand against the inside of the arch as she leans forward. The rocks and water are 100 feet below. Her mouth opens. Her brow furrows deeply. In the morgue, the coroner folds a blue sheet down from Grace's brother's head, smooths it, and leaves. Michael's hair is cropped close. He is clean-shaven. The right side of his head is unblemished. She slowly moves forward and looks down. The left side of his face is deeply bruised and his eye massively swollen. She lifts the rest of the sheet and leans forward. Michael, naked, with his injuries and the autopsy scars, stands behind her.
Grace. It's not safe here.
He reaches out.
Hurry! Gracie, hurry!
A young Michael reaches toward a young Grace. She runs to him. Holding hands, they run down a road toward a house. A dark-clad figure carries a briefcase through a medical facility hall. A young nun stands over Grace's bed. Grace stirs.
Peekaboo. I see you. Thank you, sister. You may leave. Hello, Grace. I'm Father Romero. I'm here from the Vatican because of this tragedy.
Where am I?
You're in a hospital.
Why?
You passed out at the morgue.
A tall, gray-haired priest peers down at Grace through gray-framed glasses.
It was clean. Michael was clean. There was no sand on him. If they found him at the beach, then there would have been sand on him.
Sometimes they clean the body for the autopsy.
No, there was no sand in his hair. There would have been sand in his hair.
I will look into it.
Grace moves the covers.
Hey, what are you doing?
A nurse runs in.
You have to stay in bed. We've given you a sedative. Please, get back into bed.
Father, you can't be here either. She needs her rest.
That's it. Rest until we receive your medical records.
Is there anybody I can call? Family, perhaps?
Her mother's dead. And my father's in prison for killing her.
I'll pray for them.
No. No prayers.
No prayers, then.
Grace lies in bed, eyes closed. She blinks them open. In a mist, in a forest, in a circle of stones, a girl in a rough robe wears a mask. She looks up at the sky. Around her, others are dressed the same. She raises her arms. Men in armor ride toward them. She awakens. She turns off the monitor and gets out of bed. She starts to put on her clothes.
Just here.
A taxi reaches a corner in the countryside.
Thank you.
Would you like me to wait for you?
No.
I'll be back this way soon if you change your mind.
Her figure is dwarfed by the rolling hills behind her and the boulders leading to the sandy shore before her. She looks up at the high cliff where resides the wall, with the arch on the edge. Her eyes shift to the stirring water. She follows the waves to again look up at the cliff, on which now stands a complete church. A white-robed figure falls backward from the doorway and hits the ground below. Another follows. A third lands near the other two, lying broken on the rocks. Grace faints. She falls into the water. She slowly sinks, wearing her heavy coat. She wakes. Crosses decorate the walls around her. She sits up in a small bed, in a plain room. A statue of a saint holding flowers dominates a table. Wearing a simple white dress, long-sleeved white shirt, and dark nylons, she gets out of the bed. Her hair is in a ponytail. In the hall.
Hello?
She walks by another statue. Outside, she walks through a portico with arched openings.
Hello?
She walks into a large sanctuary. Turning, she sees a nun standing by a closed door.
Can you take me to Mother Superior?
The nun looks at the floor.
No?
The nun does not move.
Can you just point? Okay. Jesus Christ.
She walks through another hall, peering out of windows. She spots a line of nuns heading in one direction and follows.
Where shall I go from your spirit? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me.
Grace walks the length of a table.
Surely the darkness shall fall upon me. Surely the darkness shall not hide from you, and the night shall be light as the day. Venite, comedite, sororum.
Where are my things?
The bread is fresh and warm and made with love. Please join us.
Where are my clothes?
It's a gift of God.
Mother Superior tells a nun to move. Grace moves closer.
You concealed evidence, didn't you? You lied in your statement. You're all liars.
What is it that you think you know?
My brother was badly hurt before he fell.
And how did you come by this revelation?
I just know it.
You just know it? A feeling. Or did you see it perhaps in your mind's eye? We live a disciplined life here, and it's lunchtime.
A nun sets food in front of Grace.
Please join us.
Thanks.
She sits.
I need my phone.
It was the taxi driver pulled you from the sea. Your phone was not blessed as you are. Please, eat. Your clothes are being dried.
The one-eyed nun stares across the table at Grace. Another watches her as she reaches for bread.
You are not as your brother described you.
How did he describe me?
Calm. Measured. Full of grace.
I'm glad that's how he remembered me.
He spoke fondly of you. Disappointed, perhaps, in your aversion to Christ.
Indifference is the word I would use.
You do not believe in miracles?
No.
Woman of science.
The nuns rise as Father Romero enters.
Oh, sisters, please, sit. I'm humbled. Mother Superior. Ah, Grace. I hear that prayers of thanks are in order.
I'd prefer answers.
At the ruins on the cliffs.
The church dates back to the 12th century. It hosted, religious artifacts. It was on the Pilgrim's Trail. A beacon of light in dark times. When it collapsed, they used the stones for the new chapel. They reasoned that the stones had more godliness than any new bricks could offer. The founders called themselves the Knights of the Morning Star. They had a certain power in the church. Some say it was a dark force that influenced even the nuns in our convents. But that's all from the mystical past. Fantasy, you'd call it.
He touches a cross carved in stone with a snake wound around it.
This was the ultimate confessional.
His back is to the opening toward the sea.
When they returned from their bloody crusades, they would stand here in front of this cross and take a step back. For every sin that they had committed.
He steps back.
The more steps they took, the more sins were forgiven. Some arrived as murderers and left as saints.
They fell to their death.
God caught them.
He raises his arms, eyes closed, and takes another step back. And another. And another.
Luckily, I have only 2 cents. Cake and coffee.
She slightly smiles.
I spoke to Mother Superior. She admits to washing her brother's body. She claimed to have done it out of respect for him.
Well, that's fucking bullshit.
I did report it to Detective Harris.
Oh.
He wants to speak to her again.
When?
Tomorrow. Well, she'll answer all his questions. Look, Grace, a lack of transparency has been a lingering stain on the church's past. I've come to reconsecrate the chapel and the grounds and bring them back to God. Such a service cannot be performed on a foundation of lies. You have the church's full support, and I will help you.
Thank you.
I have something to show you. Come.
Mother Superior watches them from stone steps above. In Grace's bedroom, a box sits on a desk by the window.
These are your brother's things. I wanted you to be the first to see them. If you discover anything useful, please let me know. Please stay as long as you like. It's the least we can do.
Thank you.
My condolences.
She removes the lid. She touches some clothes. She picks up a pouch containing rosary beads. She reaches under some clothing and extracts a large, leather-bound book. She sits at a desk and opens the book. The pages are filled with lines of figures, geometrical like hieroglyphs, triangles, slashes, and dots. Her brows draw together. Her mouth opens. She closes her eyes briefly. She turns a page. The symbols are varied and complex. A drawing shows a bucket over a well. Demons have fangs and scales and tails. Grace turns back a few pages. The translation of the symbols suddenly fills in.
Grace had no memory of her life before we adopted her. But she would see things no one else could. She was always special.
She lifts her eyes from the book. Lightning flashes. A crocheted afghan decorates a wall of a dark bedroom above a bed where Grace lies huddled under covers.
Open up! This is so long! Coast Guard patrol!
Grace creeps to the upstairs railing and looks down at a priest.
Burnt part of the boat. It's broken up. Life rafts were empty. You should prepare for the worst.
Oh, we can tell the children.
In the convent, Grace rises from the desk. Loosening her hair from the ponytail, she paces. She stops at a mirror placed directly across from the closed door. In the mirror, that door is open, and nuns are walking away down the hall. She looks at the real door. It is still closed. In the mirror, the hallway is full of nuns. She emerges from the room. The long hall is empty. She goes back inside. In the sanctuary, Mother Superior and two nuns stand by a trap door in the floor.
Chair
has collapsed twice. I believe the visions have started. We must act quickly.
I am not scared. I will take her on myself if need be.
You two, leave.
Two nuns go. He grabs Sister Beth.
You stay. And you? You think you can play games with the police?
I told them the truth.
That what? A demon killed Father Carroll? If it was not for the insane reputation of this convent, you'd be arrested for wasting police time.
Perhaps it is our zealotry that has protected us.
Oh, so was you.
You should not have given her that book.
Subtitle: There is one God, and then me.
In that order, in that chain of command, it is I who decide the girl's fate.
And if you are wrong?
Well, you think attacking her is the right thing to do?
None.
She cannot be trusted.
Two dead priests.
It is you who cannot be trusted.
You underestimate her power.
The church candles blow out. Nighttime. Grace sits at the desk studying the book.
A darkness came into our lives, disguised as a miracle.
In young Grace's bedroom, she kneels and prays.
Please don't let my dirty die. I beg you. Please. Please. Bring Daddy home.
She slowly walks to a window. A man in a yellow raincoat appears and disappears between the flashes of lightning. A shadow looms behind Grace. She turns slowly. In the convent, Grace translates the symbols. She goes to the window. A nun races across the grounds.
Hello?
Grace goes out. She strides across the grounds. A gazebo holds a large statue of a saint and lit candles all around it. Grace moves behind the structure to a rundown storage area filled with statues and furniture. It is filled with lit candles. She walks cautiously inside. A nun stands with her back to her.
Let the badness out.
Meg turns.
Meg?
She has slit her wrists with a large knife.
Done.
Meg drops the knife. Grace stares. Meg pushes her from behind.
Mother, wash your filthy mouth with soap and water.
Grace looks behind her. The bloody Meg is gone. She looks at the real Meg.
Are you okay?
Yes. I knew you would find my secret hideaway. Do you like it? Please don't tell. I come here when I have dark thoughts. The statues, they guide me. What does it feel like to be a good person?
What do you mean?
I think I might be a really bad person.
Meg walks up close to Grace.
No, you're not. You're not. I need to make a phone call. Can you help me?
In Mother Superior's office, Grace turns to Meg.
Do you mind?
Meg leaves.
John. It's Grace.
Grace? My God, I've been so worried.
You don't answer your phone. Your office hasn't heard from you.
Michael's dead.
Oh, God, Grace, I'm so sorry. What happened?
He's been murdered.
Oh, my God. Where are you?
Scotland. Yeah, I'm fine. I'll explain more when I see you.
Actually, John, I'm not fine. Can grief cause blackouts and hallucinations?
Yeah.
Well, it's a complicated emotion, Grace, but usually there's an underlying disorder, a neurotransmitter imbalance, and that's not you.
What's going on?
I don't know.
Maybe it's just being here, but I feel like I'm losing it.
Are you hallucinating?
Yes.
You need help, Grace.
Where exactly are you? Grace, I'm going
to... I have to call you back.
Grace. Mother Superior stands in the doorway.
Tell me, child. What is it you have seen?
Stay away from me.
The visions are memories from your past and your future.
Grace looks out her window as 9 nuns walk in a circle on the grass. She goes to her door.
Do you mind not doing that?
Meg holds laundry.
Sorry.
Meg follows Grace into her room.
It's okay. Do you know when I'll get my own clothes back?
Mother says we must first remove the filth from them.
All the same, I'd like them. My brother's journal.
Mother says all men are dirty. I knew a man once.
Did you?
Our bellies rubbed together.
Really?
Yes. He was so dirty we made black snakes appear. Don't tell Mother.
I won't.
Mother Superior sits across from DCI Harris.
Why did you clean the body?
He had crabs on him. Feeding on him. Tiny crabs. I washed them off him. Made him clean again. Presentable. To God. Whatever it was had possessed him to do those evil things had left him.
Grace crosses the sanctuary. Sister Matilda stands at a closed door. DCI Harris shows Mother Superior photos of the dead priest.
Father Carroll lies dead, but you decide to carry Grace's brother from the beach and wash his body.
Yes.
On your own.
On my own.
13 stone man just popped him on your shoulder.
Are you suggesting I'm lying?
I know you're lying. And if this goes to court, the prosecutor will prove it. And what now maybe feels like nothing more than protecting your colleagues will become a crime. A Christian act will put you in jail.
Grace wanders through the dining hall.
As we speak, a battle is raging between God and Satan. The light and the darkness. A Christian act should never be punished.
In a painting, horned creatures torture a nun. Grace moves from that painting to the next, which shows demons with fangs and people's bodies being torn apart. Father Romero walks up behind her.
The devil lurks in the shadow of temptation. Mother Superior doesn't want her nuns to forget it.
So it would seem.
How was your night?
Good, for the most part.
Did you get a chance to look through your brother's things?
I did. I assumed you looked at his journal.
I did. It seems to be written in some ancient language, I think.
No. It was a childhood code.
Oh. Can you translate it?
Yeah. We started using it right before our mother died. You know, he would have written it like that because he didn't want anyone else to read it.
Except for you, of course.
What you told me about your parents and now your brother, such trauma, such a young age.
I've tried very hard to forget my past. Now that he's gone and he's not coming back, I guess the memories are all I have.
Perhaps the journal can be helpful.
It is. It's just painful, but it is helping. I just don't believe my brother killed himself.
Sister Beth watches them from an upstairs window. Grace continues translating.
We never spoke of the events that happened, but they forever shaped us. Mount Saviour shaped us. Grace tried to protect me from the darkness, but it is back.
It's a miracle you survived the storm. How are Anna and the kids?
Neither are we staying at the mother's for a few days.
Oh, that's good. Well, great. I'll see you around then.
Hey. Maybe you will.
On a road outside Grace's home, a man talks with her father. He walks past a room where Grace and Michael sit in separate dog cages.
Try this.
She writes symbols on a scrap of paper. She folds a key into it. She purposely bangs her door.
What'd you do to me?
Dad?
He slams a cross on the cage.
He just went a minute ago.
Sorry.
He unlocks the cage.
Oh, it's in here.
She crawls out. He grabs her by her hair. Picks up the cross and walks her up a flight of stairs. As they ascend, she drops the paper and key to the floor below. Her mother reaches out of her place locked in under the stairs and grabs it. They reach the landing, and he pushes her into a bathroom. She closes the door and leans against the wall.
Make it quick in there!
Their mother opens her lock and runs out the front door.
No!
Grace looks out of her window at her mother running down the road. Her father runs after her mother. Grace runs to Michael's cage and tries to open it.
Quickly!
She grabs a pry bar. Grace goes to a window. Her mother is on the ground. Her father is on top of her, stabbing her.
What's happened? What's going on?
Grace runs upstairs. Her father walks back towards the house. She hides under a bed and looks toward the door.
Where are you?
He comes up the stairs. He walks past the room. He creeps into the room where she hides under the bed.
It's your own fault, Grace.
He falls to the floor, his blank eyes stare in her direction. Grace strides through the large sanctuary and stops at a wooden trap door in the center of the floor. She frowns. Her gaze lifts to a large statue high above, of Michael the Archangel, holding a long sword with a cross as its handle and hilt. Father Romero directs two nuns carrying flowers.
Grace.
He walks toward her.
For the consecration.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
But the spiritual well-being of the church is not my primary concern.
Right.
Michael discovered that this convent tried to adopt us when we were young. I have no memory of it, but I think it's what's brought him here.
I don't know anything about that, but Mother Superior told me that, would you excuse us, please?
He notes Sister Beth staring at them.
That your brother came here in search of the truth about the relic.
What?
The original church used to house a relic.
So where is it now?
Well, there was an earthquake in 93. The cliff subsided and, the ocean claimed the crypt in which it was kept. Look, in all honesty, I'm quite happy that it's gone. The Crusaders, their worship of idols, and their quest for power has given the church a bad reputation. They have books here, that exact time in history, if you care to read them.
I should.
Okay.
Grace? Michael? This is Father Jacobs and Sister Diane from the Mount Saviour Convent. They're here to take you to a special place. For children like you.
Do you have her birth certificate?
She doesn't have one. She took her adopted parents' name. O'Rourke.
The siblings glance at them. The children ride in the back seat of a sedan. Grace takes Michael's hand.
Here will do.
The car stops in the middle of the road. The priest opens Michael's door.
Get out. I said get out!
What are you doing?
He pulls him out.
No!
Grace undoes her belt. He is left in the road as they drive off. The priest is beside her. He takes a bottle and pours liquid on a cloth.
There is but one God.
He puts it over her nose. A nun drives. They veer into an oncoming truck. Nighttime, in the church, Grace looks through books. She comes on an illustration of a chalice, under a title of Fundamentalism. Scientific discoveries beginning in the 17th century seem to contradict some parts of the Bible. On the next page, a drawing of the cliff and church with people falling to the rocks below. Sister Matilda brings another large tome.
Father Romero thought you might want this book.
Thank you.
She walks away.
Leave, of course, sister.
Grace opens the book and stares at the pages filled with the code writing she and Michael had used. She sits down. Father Romero looks down at her from the choir loft shadows. He turns away. She flips through pages. The words start to appear in English.
The Knights of the Morning Star. Guard the relic.
A flash to a sunny day. And knights on horseback with the girl caged in a cart.
Take this wicked child. This vessel of darkness to now save it. There is but one god.
The words on the page say, and his shadow. She looks around the completely empty space.
Hello?
The door that had always been closed, that the nuns guarded, stands open. She approaches the dark portal. She tries a switch on the wall. It is still dark. She starts slowly down winding steps. In a dim basement room, she sees instruments of torture hanging on the walls. A frame with hooks. A rack with cuffs. In a corner, a thick, heavy wooden plank. A 6 by 6 feet square hovers on a small base about 18 inches above the floor. She kneels beside it and puts her hand on it. She has a vision of her brother underneath the plank. She jerks her hand away. He disappears. She cringes. Bracing a hand on the wall, he reappears. A priest watches Michael being crushed by the platform.
Where is the relic? What are you trying to protect?
I don't know where it is.
You are lying. More weight, sister.
Mother Superior and Sister Matilda watch as four nuns jump up and down on the platform.
Take him to the ruins. It's time he made his peace with God.
The priest drags Michael from underneath it. Michael stabs the priest in the belly with a poker. Grace stands up. Sister Matilda slowly approaches Grace.
Hello, child.
She holds a large butcher knife.
What are you doing? Do not fear me. I am but a lamb. It is you who are the wolf. Accept God into your heart.
No, no, please!
She thrusts the knife towards Grace. Grace holds up her hand. The knife halts and turns back toward the sister. She pushes the knife with both hands into her own chest. She stares at Grace. Her hands open and falls to her knees. Sister Meg is behind Matilda. In the police station, Grace raises her eyes to DCI Harris.
Right. You want to tell me what's been going on up there? I read your notes on the coded journal. You never actually told me you lived around these parts.
I know why they killed him.
Well, people around you do seem to die, don't they, Miss Farlow? Or is it Miss O'Rourke? Adoptive mother, dead, stabbed by father. Adoptive brother, dead. Now a fucking nun, who also happens to be a witness to your brother's suicide. Now she's dead.
If you read my notes, you know why Michael was there. He was chasing some sort of missing relic. It was very powerful and important, and I think they were afraid of it. They were trying to use Michael to find it, and he wouldn't help them, and now they're using me.
Do you know who you sound like? You sound like them. A missing relic.
Mother Superior sits in a cell.
Soon night will give way to day. We shall cast out the wicked deeds of darkness and defeat his shadow with the armor of light. Liberenos a mano.
Gloria in excelsis Deo. Et in terra pax hominibus. Boni voluntatis. Laudamus te. Benedictimus te.
Father Romero leads a group of nuns into the church.
Glorificamus te. Gracias agimus tibi.
Grace lies on a jail bed, curled in a fetal position. DCI Harris looks through a peephole.
Let's go. So your friend Father Romero called. Apparently, he's got a nun who claims she saw everything and confirms your side of the story.
She's lying because we were alone.
What can I say? Friends in high places.
I can go.
Pending further inquiries. Look, I don't want to see you around here again, right? Go home, grieve for your brother. You understand?
Are you still holding Mother Superior?
Do you understand?
She's the one who's responsible for my brother's death.
I'm keeping Mother Superior in for further questioning. Now go.
On a monitor, Mother Superior stands in her cell looking up at a camera. Grace leaves. In her car, Grace looks at the rearview mirror. A flash, her father slams the cross on the cage. He stabs her mother. At a prison, Grace follows a guard down cement steps. She approaches a thick glass window with a counter and a phone. She sits and stares at her reflection, and beyond, into a locked room on the other side. Her stepfather appears in the glass, his figure blurry. He walks forward, into focus, staring at Grace. He sits. His beard is gray. His face has deep wrinkles. Grace picks up the phone. She lowers her eyes and raises them to his. He picks up the phone. She lowers her eyes.
Hi, Dad.
I'm not your dad. Your dad's in hell with two horns sticking out of his head.
Why did you do it?
Do what?
Beat me. Starve me. Lock us in cages.
I took you in. I threw your love you as my own. It was hard. Because you're the devil's own, aren't you? I should have killed you. Instead, I kept you in a cage to hurt no one.
You killed Mom.
I died in the storm.
Michael's dead.
His face softens. He starts to put the phone down. His face hardens again.
Bring him back.
What?
A flash of the storm.
Save him like you did me. I should have drowned with the others.
What do you mean?
You called on someone that night. It wasn't God that answered. The darkness took me.
We all prayed for you.
It's a miracle, that's for fucking sure.
Tears fill her eyes.
Just like a day, I found you wandering on the beach. 10 years old. All alone. Cold. Wet, shivering. Someone had thrown you in the sea. Thrown you away to die. You don't die! Do ya?
Stop it!
He hits the glass.
What's it feel like? Your whole life. Wherever you go. Death and destruction. It follows. It's your shadow. You could have saved your mother that night, but you didn't.
No.
You know why? Because you want me in here! Out of the way!
She hangs up. He pounds his head on the glass. She cries and leaves. At the church, the nuns lie face down on the floor, arms outstretched. Father Romero swings an incense burner.
I appeal to you, therefore, sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your whole being as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by its renewal of your mind. But by this test, you may discern what is the will of God and what is good.
On the monitor, Mother Superior looks up.
Anyone called from the convent?
No.
Well, I'd maybe glad to be rid of her.
Grace drives. She sees a glimpse of her dead mother, her beaten brother.
What aren't you telling me, Mother? What did you want with them? She mentioned a relic. Was Michael hiding it from you?
You're such a stupid man, DCI Harris. Do people not tell you that?
More than you might think.
Michael was not stupid. He was a man of God. He was brilliant. He found the relic and he was to return it to us. God's will in motion, but Michael did not understand its power. Very dangerous.
Grace walks into the convent.
She must be purified, cleansed, contained once more.
You think the relic is not a thing, but a person? Grace. You think Grace is the relic?
I know Grace is the relic. And so does she.
Grace looks down the dim hallways.
Hello?
She walks past a line of nuns who prostrate on the floor. She moves away.
Does anyone know where Father Romero is?
Sister Beth raises her face off the floor. Meg prays before a statue of the Madonna.
Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
Do you know where Father Romero is?
Mother said you would be our downfall.
Beth rushes at Grace with a raised knife. She strikes. The knife stops midair. Her wrist breaks. Meg turns and runs. Beth wrestles with an unseen assailant. She is thrown to the ground. Grace runs after Meg.
Meg!
Meg runs into the shed of statues.
I'm sorry! I'm so sorry! Don't hide me from this demon!
I won't hurt you!
Mother thinks me fragile, but God's gift fills me with strength to do his bidding. I will not let her take me.
Meg picks up a large knife.
We must forsake our own evil or be devoured.
Meg!
Let the badness out.
She slits her wrists. Grace grabs Meg's wrist.
John.
She tries to staunch the blood.
Can you stay away from me?
Meg pulls away and falls.
I can feel the sin leaving
me.
No.
Oh, come on. I'm bleeding.
Come on.
No. I'm bleeding. No, Meg is bleeding. I'm bleeding.
Okay. All right.
I thought that would die.
I can help you.
Grace pulls clothing over the wound. Meg's blood is all over Grace. She looks up at an old mirror. In it, Grace, in a habit and covered in blood, stares at herself. The image turns and walks away. Grace looks down at Meg. Her eyes are closed.
It's me, isn't it?
Grace walks back toward the church.
All my powers, soul, and body. My whole life.
Grace enters and stops.
Whatever most pleases thee.
Blood covers her. The nuns all face her. Father Romero stands in the center. Grace drops to her knees.
Oh. Grace.
Stay back. My father was right, wasn't he? Something wrong with me. I think I'm cursed. I see things. Meg is dead. And I've seen it before. I couldn't stop it. I know it's impossible.
You're not cursed, child. You're blessed.
I just wanted to stop. Can you help me?
Shh. Banish the darkness. Be filled with his light.
Can you make it stop?
He holds a hand over her.
Come. Come, child.
He takes her hand.
Don't be scared.
She rises. He walks her toward the nuns.
Join us, Simon. And you shall be absolved. We bless you, vessel of true sight.
They encircle her and lift her above their heads. They put a veil on her head. She lies on her back, arms outstretched like a cross. They carry her.
Blessed Michael Archangel, defend us in this moment of conflict. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God restrain him. We humbly pray.
They approach the trap door.
Do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, thrust Satan down to hell with those other wicked spirits that wander through the world for the ruin of souls.
They put her down and kneel.
Grace of Aaron, do you admit your sins and seek to be cleansed by the Holy Spirit?
I do.
There is but one God. Consecrate her.
The nuns pick up ropes attached to the trapdoor and slide the lid aside.
You ready, child?
She walks up to the dark hole. She descends stone steps into darkness. She touches a wall that contains the secret writings of her and Michael.
She must be contained for eternity. Her power is a threat to Christ.
The girl in the cage on the cart looks up at the stone church on the cliff. She removes her mask.
In the tomb you shall not age. Preserve forever in God's love.
She huddles on a basement floor. A knight closes the cover.
Seal the crypt.
Grace turns back to the steps.
Bring the weight of all heaven on this tomb.
He looks at dust falling on his hand, then up at the archangel statue.
Protect me from my spiritual enemies.
The sword comes loose and hovers. Grace's bloody hand stops the lid. The sword thrusts itself into the priest's back. The nuns flee. Blood pours from his mouth. With the cross-shaped hilt and handle rising from his back, he climbs two steps and falls. Grace watches the nuns leave and turns to him.
So that was your plan? Just bury me in a tomb? Whatever happened to forgiveness?
Christ died for the sins of man, not to forgive the sins of a fallen angel.
Is that what I am?
You're the darkness that proves the light. That's why you hate God. That's why you lost touch with your brother. It is him you should ask for forgiveness. Sam!
Grace runs toward the door. The nuns stand aside. DCI Harris's car arrives at the convent.
Grace! Hello? Anyone here?
On the cliff, with a mist rising, Grace, in her bloody nun's gown and veil, walks to the carved cross and sword.
Please forgive me.
She she takes a step back. And another.
Grace!
She takes a third.
No. Please, don't do this.
It's the only way.
No. That's just some bullshit they filled your head with. Hocus pocus, remember?
She stretches out her arms and falls backward.
No!
She falls slowly. Her eyes open. A white flash, and she is in her home. In her bloody gown, she touches the picture of her and Michael and leaves a blood stain on his shirt.
It's true.
Grace, as she was before, looks down the hall. She continues to fall. Bloody Grace kneels by her dead mother's body and closes her mother's eyes. Bloody Grace holds her father's cross. She stands over his dead body. Bloody Grace looks at young Michael standing alone on the road. In the car, Bloody Grace watches the priest struggling with young Grace. Bloody Grace buckles young Grace's seatbelt and steers the car into a truck. In the sanctuary, Bloody Grace walks past Father Romero.
We'll bring her here.
And the nuns.
By her own volition. No harm is to come to her.
Bloody Grace forces Sister Matilda to stab herself in the chest. She breaks Beth's wrist.
Dear God, let her dwell once again in your house and bring the weight of all heaven upon this tomb.
Bloody Grace grabs the sword and throws it down at the priest.
Tim is lost.
In the night, Michael stands with his back to the cliff.
Return to God, my son. Return to God.
Mother Superior, Beth, and Matilda turn their backs on him. They blow out and break their candles. Bloody Grace walks toward them and Michael. She brushes past Mother Superior.
The demon is here.
I knew he would try to save me.
I love you, Mikey. I'm so sorry. Would you forgive me?
For what?
For leaving you in the darkness. Hiding who I am. Hiding from you.
You're here now.
I can save you.
Like you did, Dad.
No. No, don't.
I have to do this. But God will catch me.
Bloody Grace touches Michael's swollen face.
You are good, Grace.
She reaches toward him. He falls backward. She closes her eyes. Grace continues her fall from the cliff. DCI Harris looks down.
No!
daytime, a police boat sails toward a dock. DCI Harris comes out of the police station.
Did you find her?
No sign of her, sir.
DCI Harris drives Mother Superior to the convent.
You think you've got it all wrapped up, don't you? Father Romero conveniently going back to Rome. You might fool the CPS, but you don't fool me. Tell me one thing. How did you get under her skin? You know, what is it that you do up here that would make someone like Grace want to kill themselves?
Grace is not dead.
What are you talking about?
She has incredible power, and she will use it for evil. Until she stopped.
Cheers.
Cheers.
In a restaurant, Grace and John hold up glasses.
You all right?
Yeah.
Sure? Been through a lot?
I'm sure.
How's the therapy coming on?
Well, as a survivor of traumatic events, both past and fairly recent, the official answer is supposed to be day by day. To be honest, I'm quite shit at therapy. I don't really trust my memory of those times, and healing used to be just forgetting. But I'm realizing that my body actually remembers things that my mind just can't, so I am trying.
No. That's progress.
Put it this way, I'm not going to go anywhere near a church anytime soon.
Well, I saw your patient, the old lady who's going blind.
Oh, good. How is she?
Oh, well, she had perfect sight. She only kept the appointment not to be rude. She said it was a miracle. She said you cured her.
Grace looks down from her office as the husband helps his wife into the car and goes to the driver's side. Bloody Grace opens the woman's door. She holds the woman's face. The woman looks at her. Grace touches her eye with her bloody thumbs. She pulls away and closes the door. In the sanctuary, the trap door to the crypt. In the woods, the young child in the mask raises her arms. Grace walks along the iron fence of a park. She stops as she sees Mother Superior in the street, with her gun pointed at Grace. They stare at each other. A taxi hits the nun. It brakes. She falls in the street. The driver gets out and goes to the nun.
My brother used to believe I had a guardian angel. And I used to believe in nothing. But now I'm not so sure.
The taxi's rear shelf holds a blonde angel that wiggles its wings, cut to black. Audio description written by Bonnie Barlow. Narrated by Matt Levy. Described by AudioEyes. Credits appear. Directed by Christopher Smith. Written by Christopher Smith and Laurie Cook. Produced by Laurie Cook. Jason Newmark. Produced by Casey Herbert. Xavier Marchand. Produced by Stuart Ford. Executive producer Miguel A. Palos, Jr. Linda McDonough. Executive producers Alistair Burlingham, Gary Raskin, executive producers Ed Freeman, Adam Nagel, co-executive producers Charlie Dombeck, Zach Garrett, composer Nathan Halpern. Credits roll. Casting order of appearance: Mother Superior, Janet Suzman; Grace, Jenna Malone; female patient, Valerie Saruf; patient's husband, Godwin Toe, John; Will Keen; DCI Harris, Thorin Ferguson; Sister Beth, Alexandra Lewis; Michael, Stefan Senid; Young Michael, Kit Rackeson; Young Grace, Daisy Allen; Sister Meg, A. Lee Fisher; Father Romero, Danny Houston; Nurse, Marilyn O'Brien; Taxi Driver, Brian Wells; Sister Matilda, Jolade Obasola; Vincent, Ian Peary; Grace's mother, Victoria Donovan; Father Carroll; Sean Scott; Father Jacobs, Michael Brophy; Sister Diane, Charlotte Palmer; Adoption Clerk, David Boyle;
Futuri seculi, princeps.
pax hominibus, boni voluntatis, laudamus te, benedictimus te, adoramus te, glorificamus te, gratias agimus tibi.
Copyright 2022, Consecration Financing and Distribution, LLC.